Hello team, and welcome to episode 17 of What an Absolute Fit Show. Today I'm talking to Dave Christie. He is a business coach and mentor. Let's find out what he thinks of the fitness industry. I'll see you on the other side. I don't really like to introduce people because the first few episodes that I did, I was introducing people, and it got a bit awkward because it'd be like, "Oh, this is Dave. Dave, tell us about yourself." And then people tend to get all, "I'm Dave, and I do this and I do that," and it doesn't really, and then the conversation doesn't really flow. So I tend to do like an intro beforehand, and then we just sort of like, I just start recording, and then I will literally just go, "This is where I'm going to start it from," and that's where. You know, that's where I sort of started from. So we'll just go on from there. We'll just have a chat, and then I'll start it from wherever I want.
You just take it from here, and then you'll
Pretty much. I'll just edit it,
and then you'll just get on the floor with your dog and do an intro.
Pretty much, yeah. So you watched the last one, then. I didn't mean for that to happen. The dog just came up.
It's authentic.
Yeah, exactly. And I didn't want to sit on the sofa because I thought that'd be boring. And I wanted a nice plant in the background. So there you go. My wife was in the office. It's an interesting one though, with doing a podcast, because people assume that it's really easy. People assume you're just recording something, get somebody on, record something, and then the amount of editing that goes into it. When you're trying to put it on Spotify as well, when you're trying to put it on Apple Music as well, you've got to take loads of people. I stopped recording it and stopped having it as a video on YouTube just for ease. And then people will go, "Well, where's the video gone? What's happening with the videos?" And I was like, "Oh God, it's so hard to extract the audio from video, make sure that all the audio is good and things like that. Like the audio that I did when I did the podcast with Gaz, I wasn't very happy with. It kept on clipping. There's nothing I could do about it. And I was really, really annoyed. So it's just...
It's a process though, right?
Yeah, it is.
If you look at videos from beginning now to now, for most people, you know, go back to look at the first Steve Bartlett ones.
Oh yeah.
They are shabby.
They are quite shabby.
And now he's got a team underneath him, clickers underneath the table, all sorts. Everything advances.
Yeah, I quite like this one being quite raw. I quite like it being raw. I don't want it to be overproduced.
You say that today.
Yeah.
Give it a year.
You reckon?
You'll be going back and go, I think it's always the way, because that's how you start out.
Yeah.
You start out and say, well, like, I think they're overproduced, or it looks too sharp, or it is that. But actually, as you progress and as you get more comfortable, you'll get more technically, your abilities will rise.
Yeah.
And naturally, you won't be the coach or the podcast or anyone that you are today in 2 years' time.
Yeah.
Because you'll have evolved.
Mm. Interesting. I think... when you look at stuff like that, people tell you to make a 5-year plan or a 3-year plan or a year plan. What would you say? Do you think a 5-year plan is a good idea? Because you don't know. I would never have assumed I'd be here 5 years ago, where I am now.
If you look back 5 years, I think when people make these 5-year plans, this is okay for corporate businesses. It's okay for bigger businesses. But even then, you get past year three and you're scratching your head and just going, I'll just add 20% on. Because you can't predict. Look at the world we live in at the moment. You can't predict what's going on within those time spaces. But you do need a plan. You do need some goals. But it's beyond the goals. It comes down to, that's that phrase, isn't it? You don't rise to your goals. You fall to your processes.
Okay.
So
not heard that one before.
Have you not?
No. So, yeah. Explain. So
if you look at New Year's resolutions.
Yeah.
How many fail?
Oh, 90%.
Because there's no reality about where you are today. So until you set your reality of where you are today, you can't really know where you want to be. So you set that goal. Say someone, I want to lose 3 stone. That's the goal. But there isn't the steps in place to learn how to get there. So you're setting yourself up to fail. And you need those little, like we do with social media, like we do with lots of other areas in our lives at the moment. We need those little endorphin hits and dopamine hits. And we need that little kind of those little wins to signify that. But if we don't put those processes in place to say, I'm going to mark off today that I've done something towards that goal.
Yeah.
And then you can't monitor that. You fail because you've got to become your own inner coach. You've got to become your own inner champion. Not everyone's going to do that for you. So that's when we go, it was Sally's birthday on Tuesday and we all had cake. So I'm just going to, I might as well start my fitness thing next week again.
Yeah. It's always going to start on Monday as well. I'm not sure what Monday what's so special about Monday being this day that everybody's going to start their diet plan or start going to the gym?
Monday's beginning of the month, New Year's. Those are the three main ones.
There's the three main ones. And I think it's almost, I'm going to put it off and I need to mentally prepare for it. But maybe instead of preparing for the day, it's a case of building habits, right? And I suppose that's the same with business. You've got to build, like I know that I'm still learning loads of things about not trying to scale my business into something more than what I'm doing now, but I'm also still learning about being a sole trader. You know, I'm learning from the bottom still. I'm taking some of the things that I've learned and implementing them into what I'm doing now as well. I think you've got to do that. You've got to keep on looking. There's always that saying, isn't there, that like you've got your windscreen is massive and it's in front of you. You've got to keep on looking forward. Then you've got your rear view, which is small. You have a glance back into the past, you know. But I try and do that. I have a little glance back, see what I've done, what's been right, what's been wrong, and then I go on from there and implement what I can. I also talk to you about stuff.
I talk to people about stuff. I learn all the time. I think we always need to have that element of self-learning and lifelong learning and self-development and continual learning.
Yeah.
I think it's really important. But coming back to that goal-setting piece, it's great to have the goals, but if you don't have the whys, then why do you continue doing something?
Yeah.
So when I was playing rugby and I'm jumping over hurdles with one leg, just one-footed hurdle jumps, I had no clue why I was doing that. So I asked, and I was told, just do it. Right. Well, I did, but did I do it to 100%? No. I did it because I saw somebody else doing it. We do that a lot in business. We do things because that person's doing something, so I must do it. But actually, that person's got a completely different business. They're a completely different person.
Yeah.
When I understood how that would help me shift my body weight from one side to the other, allow me to get lower in the breakdown or the contact area, and allow me to become a better rugby player, I did that one-legged thing with every gusto I possibly could, because I knew why I was doing it. I think a lot of the time, social media is a classic. Why are you doing social media? Because everyone has to do it.
Yeah.
You know, new social media platforms come up. Should I be on that? I get those conversations all the time. But where are your customers? Where are your clients?
Yeah.
You spend so much time doing what you think
is the right
because thing. You see everybody else doing it. Actually, taking that step back or even two steps back to understand, what do my potential clients need to hear? What are they going through? What are they dealing with?
Yeah.
You know, take the gym environment. What are they dealing with when they're walking into that gym or looking for a PT or they're vulnerable.
Oh yeah, massively.
They're probably got anxiety, they've probably got stress, they're probably in a not very great place. I would go one step further and say everybody in the gym is working something out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, massively. Everybody's got their why, like you said.
Yeah, I think it's around actually people understanding that everyone's on that different level of journey. And actually, if you understand why someone's walking in and what they might be going through, then you'll approach them differently. They're not just another client.
Mm.
They're not just another person walking through the door or another little paycheck that you get on a monthly subscription.
Yeah.
They're a person. They're vulnerable. They're hurting. They've probably tried things before. They've probably failed before. Yeah. They've probably spent a lot of money on things before. That's probably failed before. Now they're in your care.
You've got to look after them.
That's
you have a level of responsibility as a coach. And that's something that I learned early on was because I did that when I first started, especially when the first time round at 2017, 2016, when I was coaching. And I was treating some of my clients as just page. I'd see them, I'd forget appointments, I wouldn't put it in the diary. And to me, it was, like you said, it was just another paycheck. Whereas now, like every one of my clients I know exactly what I'm doing when I do a session, I plan it. I take into consideration what they're going through. The first question that we should be asking as clients when we see our clients is, how are you doing? What's going on? What's going on around your life? What's going on around this? Because certain things that you say, they might really not want to talk about, or they might really need to talk about things. You're almost, as a coach, you're almost a little bit like a therapist as well. It's a little bit like a hairdresser.
It has to be.
You know, people go and get their hair done, and it's for them, it's like an hour or a couple of hours sitting in the chair, and it's their time. And that's how I treat my sessions with people. You go in, you talk to, you've got me to talk to, it's your hour. You can do whatever you want. If you just want to, If you want to be quiet and you just want to get the work done, that's fine. If you want to open up to me, I'm there to be, you know, I'm there to be talked to.
I think there's an element as well of understanding how that person is feeling. So if you ask everybody if they're okay, guess what the answer is?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you ask everyone, same as if you ask everybody, do you understand what I'm saying? Everyone says,
yeah.
Any questions? No.
No.
And they walk out of the room. What was he saying? Doesn't understand. Mm-hmm. But actually, trying to bring somebody in from an environment where they may have had a hard day, or the kids are playing up, or they've got stress at work, or there's something wrong with a car, or they're not feeling great, actually being able to create, they're going to walk in, then you haven't got their full attention when they first walk in. So from a coaching perspective, from my perspective, I use several tools, even from little things like a little jelly baby tree with lots of different jelly babies that are on different areas of the tree. Some are swinging, some are falling, some are flying, some are...
Okay.
And I kind of go, where are you today? Which jelly baby are you today? And they'll talk me through. And one that's flying, somebody else might see it as falling. Somebody else might see it as floating. Okay. There's lots of other aspects. So for me, it makes them start to think and zone them back into something else, take them away from what they've been doing on their day-to-day, to allow them to be present in the session that they're going to be within, creating a corridor for them almost between where they've been and what they're about to do, to just refocus them. And also it then allows me to understand, oh, okay. You're the jelly baby with his back turned to the wall because you're not feeling too great today.
Yeah.
I'm going to change my approach for today, for what we were going to do. Maybe I won't do something so intense. Maybe we won't go a couple of levels down in that conversation because I now understand where you're at. Let's look at something else. Let's come at it from a different angle. Mm. And I think that is the thing that's not taught when you're going and getting your initial qualifications. You get your qualifications in coaching and any type of coaching, and then off you go.
Yeah. There's definitely an issue, I think, at the moment with coaches getting qualified, and it is quite. I'm not going to take it away from anybody that has got their PT level 3 or even their PT level 4, but to be working with clients, and I don't mean from a knowledge basis of knowing your shit in the gym and knowing what to do with people. But gaining experience and gaining some more education on how to deal with people like you were just talking about, on how they're feeling mentally, because it has such a big impact. And I think health and fitness has got such a massive impact on how you feel that it's our responsibility to, as a coach, as a business, to make sure that client is okay. And that's why, like, from my point of view, not trying to plug in the PT company at all with this, but it's, for me, having one, a mentorship side of it, where we can potentially going to be working with newer coaches and helping them along and going through all of the mistakes that we made and making it so that they're not going to make those mistakes, or if they are going to make those falls, the falls aren't going to hurt as much, you know. That's what we're looking at doing. And also for clients, having something in place where a client, it's not just about the fitness. It's not just about coming in and freshening yourself in the gym, following a program, and then having a weekly check-in with your coach who's going to be like, how are things going? Yeah, you're happy? Yeah, you're staying on your nutrition today? Yeah, yeah. It's more about, okay, how can we make sure that you're okay mentally as well as being okay physically?
I think that's where it starts. I think that's where it should start. Yeah. Where we are in such an environment where everything is ascetical. And we have to look a certain way, and we have to be a certain way. And actually, when you step back out of that environment, it's, what are we here for? We feel good. No one ever walks out and goes, oh, so gutted I came here today.
Yeah.
But you mentally beforehand, you'll try and talk yourself out of it on days, because motivation doesn't last. But if you have the reason and you have the understanding of why you're going to do something, then you've got the dedication and determination to carry on. But
absolutely,
we'll talk to ourselves. You know how you talk in your head.
Thursday morning, I tried to talk myself out of a workout. All morning, I talked myself out of it. I had better things to do. I had a podcast to record. I had things to do with... I'm just so busy with the business. I can't train. No, you know what? I'm just not going to train today. I'm going to have it as a rest day. I'm going to have today... I'm going to have this week as a deload, actually. And, like, in the end, it got to about 11:15 when I'd finished with my clients and I'd finished my class. And I was like, just get a fucking workout done, mate.
But you've got that in you.
Yeah.
You've been doing this for a while now. Yeah. I think that's where, we come back to that understanding who you're working with, that haven't got those little tricks and traits. They haven't got that little dedication. They haven't got the knowledge of that, and they can have that self-talk. They're doing anything they can to talk themselves out of coming here, because that person looked at me last week and I swear they were looking at me because I was overweight, and I look horrible in this gear, and why would I want to walk into this, and people are staring at me and people are looking at me and I don't know how to use that equipment. So the self-talk is always negative. Yeah. Normally always negative, and it's always normally you don't look in the mirror very rarely and go, looking good today. Yeah. You go, what's up with your hair? Why are you dressing like that? God, have you got that little mark on your face? Oh, you do something wrong. And it's, why did you do that? Oh, idiot. You know, the self-talk is terrible. We'd never talk outside like that.
Yeah.
So that's why people come here. That's really the real emphasis. It's not how you look. It's how you feel. Because if you look good, you feel good.
Absolutely.
It's all linked to how you feel. If you feel good, you have a better day. You've got a better outlook on life. You feel brighter. You've got more energy. You're more focused. You're more pleasing. You're more engaged with people because you're not thinking about that sluggishness. You're not thinking about, oh, I'm not feeling great today. Oh, I didn't go for that workout. And again, the mind talk comes back in again.
That's the reason. So for me on Thursday, why I did the workout was, it wasn't because I thought I've got to do this workout. It was because I was like, I'm going to get home and I'm going to be pissed off for the rest of the day that I've not done the workout. And that's really going to annoy me for the rest of the day. It's probably going to ruin my day. But going back to you said about most, you know, a lot of people come in here and they've got those feelings of anxiety when they first walk into a gym, and they don't know what they're doing. They think people are looking at them, and that makes me feel really sad. Mm-hmm. I can actually put myself into that person's shoes, and it makes me feel really, really sad because it's almost like a block. You know, like gyms are a fantastic tool. Absolutely amazing tool for getting yourself fit and healthy, but that's what they are. They're a tool. You have to have that capacity to go into the gym and then the knowledge to be able to actually get it done. And that's why coaches exist. That's why you have lots of different variations of different ways of coaching, whether it's in-person coaching, whether it's online coaches, whether it's an app, whatever it is, it's all there to assist people and help people. And people just don't have either don't I don't know what it is actually why people don't utilize it, but as part of growing my business, that's one of my main things that I'm trying to find out at the moment. Everything that I do is going towards finding out why people aren't wanting to utilize the tools and the knowledge and the motivation and inspiration that we're trying to offer people. Is it the money? It can't be the money, because people don't think twice. I mean, we're looking at, you know, the PT company membership when it comes out isn't going to be expensive. It's not going to be expensive. I'm not going to say how much it's going to be, but it's not going to be expensive. People are going to spend more money on a round of drinks, one round of drinks, than they are on a month subscription, where they're going to get literally everything that they're going to need to be on their fitness journey and to go through their journey and everything that they need support-wise, motivation-wise, discipline-wise. But I know that people aren't going to come flooding through the door for me. I'm going to have to go and find customers. I'm going to have to build it up. I wonder why that is.
Value. It comes down to value, lots of it. Everyone thinks value is what? When you think value, you think money.
Mm-hmm.
So am I going to spend money on that? Well, actually, someone coming to you as an example, or someone coming into a gym or wherever they might be coming to, they've probably failed 20 times already. They've already thrown that money. It comes back to what they've already done previously, what they're coming in and thinking. So they're coming in and going, well, that's all well and good, but I'm already spending money on a gym membership, or I've already tried this workout. I've already been on that fitness plan. I've already signed up to that 12-week diet course. It all failed. Because they're set up to fail, because if they fail, you lose a customer, right?
Yeah.
So actually, the thing is that then it comes around value. That round of drinks, I value that at the end of the week because I'm chattered and it's a way to unwind. And for me, I think it's a way of de-stressing. Now, I haven't drunk for years and because I don't see that same value, but to them, that is valuable to them.
And it's also a social aspect of it as well.
Of course it is.
Because it's like I said, that's why I use that example, because what I was hoping we were going to go down this conversation is it's a social aspect. Now, sometimes it's the same as being in business on your own, being a sole trader, or even having a company and running it on your own. It can be quite lonely. Some people's fitness journeys are lonely. Even if they're coming to classes, doing classes, yeah, we try and I've tried to build up as much of a community as I can with the classes that I do. I think what we need is more community-based fitness rather than a more community-based health, rather than relying on the social media outlets that we have. Nobody cares about you on Instagram. Everybody's just chasing likes. Whereas actually, likes don't really matter. I'd rather build up a community of people where we can all help each other out rather than you being on your own with it.
You look at the networking events that are around the local areas and stuff. There's groups of like-minded business owners from all walks of life that are all coming to this together. Why? Yeah. Well, yes, they're trying to look for their business, but mainly because they're trying to surround themselves with like-minded people.
Absolutely. You always want to be up. Sorry to interrupt, but you never, the person that is, the person that's more success, doing better than you and more successful than you is never going to slag you off. It's always the person that's, you know, working up, trying, looking up to you almost.
Or, so again, I take that back. Why are they doing that? Why would that person do that?
I don't actually know.
Because it's normally a reflection of themselves. So it's normally a reflection when they're looking up and you're pulling somebody down. It's normally jealousy. It's normally, I should be doing that. If they can do that, I could do that, but I'm not.
Yeah.
So instead of looking inwards at going, why am I not doing that? Why am I not getting up early? Why am I not putting those extra time in? Why did I not do that course? If they can do it, I can do it.
Absolutely.
So instead of looking inwards, we project outwards. And, you know, you go back to that pub scene. Normally at the weekend you hear around the pub is so-and-so at work did this, and so-and-so did that, and so-and-so did that. And it's all about putting others down in a lot of environments rather than thinking inwards, because that's painful.
Yeah.
About looking inwards. Whereas you create like-minded community. I run coaching sessions and people are there, I want to learn. I know that I don't know stuff, but you've got, everyone's at different knowledge levels on their journey. If you don't know, there's lots more to learn. And because you're not in that environment, then you're going to stay where you are.
Yeah.
Because I've got my certificate, I've got my clients, I'm all okay. I don't need any more than that.
Exactly.
But I can't blame them for that, because that's the environment that we're taught in. Yeah.
Some people are happy with that as well. Some people just... I always want to surround myself with people that are more successful and people that I can look up to. I almost feel like I need a mentor all the time to look up to. Always need somebody to, and somebody to ask questions and somebody to just look at and just almost get validation. It's like a validation thing for me. Like, am I doing the right thing? Is this correct? What am I doing? And a lot of the time I know what I'm doing is either right or wrong. I know how hard I'm working. I know when it's a time to take a rest. I know when it's time to take like a mini vacation or whatever. But sometimes you feel like you need that validation. And I think surrounding yourself with other like-minded people that are all chasing the same sort of thing is better than slagging them off or going up against them or treating them as competition. Do you know what I mean?
I think there's room in this world for everybody, and there's lots of competition. For me, is actually good. Absolutely. I coach other coaches to then be my competitors.
Yeah,
because I want people to have a good experience of coaching, because everything is a period of time. You can only be so long with that same person before you need to go to somewhere else. I pick up clients because they've been somewhere before. That person's taken them to the limit of where they've got to. Great, and now they're looking for a new challenge, a different perspective. So actually, we work together in that unison. Yeah. I work with a lot of independent businesses, business people, founders, business owners. But so when they're ready and they're growing and go to a certain level, I pass them on to the next set of coaches that work at that next level, or the corporate client coaches or the executive coaches that are out there and stuff as well. So I think it's everyone just coming back again, knowing your place. You talk about social and being community, but part of that being community is supporting anyone that's within that, whether it's a client, whether it's another coach alongside you. I think we all see people as enemies, and actually we should all be friends.
Especially in the fitness industry. It's very, when I lived in Gibraltar, I was maybe a little bit naive coming in to this, but I was managing a gym, and then after that I was head trainer of a gym. And I didn't see, and the environment that I tried to create was that where all the coaches, all the PTs, we worked together, but it was laid out differently. They were all on a salary anyway, and then they just got commission from the clients that they had. When I got back to the UK, it was very, very dog eat dog. Everybody's self-employed, everybody's stealing each other's client, everybody's doing, and I was like, whoa, 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 going on here? This isn't like, this isn't right. This isn't how it should be. And it kind of made me a little bit not, I was like, what's going on with the fitness industry at the moment? What is wrong with the fitness industry? And I've spent the last couple of years trying to figure that out and now trying to implement different things to make it so that I'm trying to get it so that people can work together. I want it so that, you do the stats. Don't quote me on these stats because they might be well off, but they're not that far off. But there's pretty much room for every single personal trainer in the UK. Yeah, one-on-one personal. Let's write off the online ones that aren't qualified or whatever. If you've got some in-person one-to-one coaching experience, or you are a one-to-one coach, it's like 1,000 people per coach in the UK. Yeah, so your pool of 1,000 people, some of them are going to want coaching. It's just about that marketing, right? It's just about getting, like we said, finding out their why and creating that relationship with them.
Comes back down to value again.
Yeah.
You know, I think that we're not everybody's cup of tea, and if we have to understand that as well. We're not going to go into any environment and be, I'm going to work with everybody.
Yeah.
I might not want to work with people. You might not want to work with people. There has to be that gel. But again, it comes back down to that value. It comes back down to understanding and taking the time to understand what people want. And actually, I pass away nearly 30% of all people that come to me, I pass on to another coach because I believe they're going to get a better experience.
Yeah.
Now, some people would go, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
They've literally been referred to you and you're passing them on to somebody else. Why would you do that? That's money in your pocket.
Yeah, I would do that.
But it's not money in my pocket. It might be money in my pocket today, but I know they can get a better experience and they have that better experience because that's the essence of what a coach is, right? To have that person have the best experience.
Exactly, yeah. I've had that. And we'll talk about coaching in a minute a little bit more. But I've had that experience where I've passed on, had consultations with clients and passed them on to physios or passed them on to coaches that I know they're going to get a better experience with. Like somebody says, I want to do a bodybuilding competition. I am not your guy. You know, I'm not the dude for that. Like, in time, I would like to. I've got no interest in that. I don't want to do that. But in time, I'd like to, with the PT company, bring somebody in who can do that, and we can work together on that and things like that. Yeah. But for me personally, I don't want to go down that road. So anybody that comes to me with that goal in mind, I'm okay. I'm going to pass you on to somebody else. That's the ethically best thing to do. Morally, that's the best thing to do. Instead of taking the money, yeah, I'll get you there, I can do that, and then not being able to, not having the heart to do it, not having the passion to do it, but also not having the knowledge and experience to do it as well. So changing the subject a little bit, I want to talk about coaching. Now, I picked up on this, I can't remember the exact quote, I should have it written down, but I didn't write it down. And a lot of people come up against coaching, both with me and with you, and it made me think. When you say like, oh, okay, business coach or health and fitness, mindset, whatever, all coaching. And because it's an initial expenditure for a delayed gain. And that's what puts people off, right? People don't see that down the road, this is what I'm going to get out of this. All they see is I'm going to have to pay this money now. And then hopefully something might happen, it might not. Which I think in the fitness industry has become, it's almost like a running joke with these like 12-week program to get you shredded and this will achieve your goals in that amount of time and stuff. And it just doesn't really work anymore. It doesn't really correspond. I think people know that, okay, 12 weeks is enough time for me to get the habit formed, but is it enough time to actually for me to lose that weight? And we had a discussion about this a couple of weeks ago about coaches offering out, okay, let's do this. They put a finite time on it. Your goal's got to be done by that time. But what happens after that point? You know, what happens after that? Do we have to bring more coaching? Do I have to pay again? Do I have to do this? Do I have to do that? And for me, it just doesn't really work with the fitness industry. That's one of the things that's really quite damaging in the fitness industry, I think. What's your view on that? What's your view on how coaches should now be doing their programming instead of offering out 12-week programs and sort of finite goal setting and things like that, which hasn't got enough time, just to try on the off chance that a few of their clients are going to get shredded for that before and after photo, whereas most of them probably aren't. And quite a few clients don't want that either. Quite a few clients just want to get fitter, get a bit healthier. They don't want that massive body transformation. You know, what's your sort of views on that?
The 12-week programs are just set up to fail again. It's an industry-wide, whether it's through in the gym, whether it's through nutrition, whether it's through diet fads, whether it's through different sets.
Yeah.
It's all set up to fail and become negative, because guess what happens 4 weeks in to a 12-week session when you see nothing?
Yep.
And you're a third of the way through?
Yep.
I quit.
Absolutely. I see it all the time.
Because all I'm thinking about is the 12 weeks. All I'm thinking about is I must have this result by this time. So my mind focus is wrong. Mm-hmm. My attitude going into it is wrong.
Yep.
And I'm setting every element of that is set up to fail. And actually, giving people the tools to understand the process, it's giving people realistic expectations, managing those expectations, and setting the right sets of. So if the goal might be, isn't, I need to lose 5 stone by this date. It can't possibly be the right goal.
Nope.
The idea around that is to say, I'm looking to lose weight and I don't understand how. Show me.
Yeah.
So now we talk to them and we can educate. But actually, if you swap that for that,
yeah,
then that might help you from a nutrition perspective. If you do this for a period of time, what will happen is this.
Yeah.
And as a result, you'll start to see this.
Yeah.
And people don't understand. So their expectation. And then if you make it around the feeling, if you make it about actually the plus is you've come here today. That's just starting that habit. If you want to teach someone to do 10K, the habit isn't running 10K. The habit is when you finish work at 5, you put your trainers on. Not even go for a run.
Just put
your trainers on. That's the habit you need. And then I said, just run 2 minutes and come home. What?
Yep.
So just run 2 minutes and come home. Because they don't want to run. They haven't run it before. They're anti-running.
Yep.
They don't get it. Just put your trainers on. I want you to just form a habit. We're trying to form habits. If you tell people what they're trying to do and talk them through it at the time, they learn and develop themselves and then they start to self-coach themselves. So then you'll get a reaction of, next time you see somebody, David, actually, I ran for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And they're almost apologizing for doing what you wanted them to do. But they've done it themselves. So they're taking themselves on that journey. I think for coaching in a lot of areas and nutrition and other elements is, it's not about you as the coach. It's got nothing to do with you as the coach. It's everything to do about that person and their experience. And if they experience something and they're learning and they're developing, you're a facilitator. You're facilitating an experience or a session or a knowledge that's going to allow them to grow and develop. They've done it themselves.
Yeah.
It's not you.
That's exactly the way that I try and get. I don't really tend to like doing these 12-week programs and things like that, because for me, and especially with how I'm looking to set up the PT company is, or how it is being set up, it will never be 12 weeks. It will be an ongoing thing. Like if you're looking to, and that's why the subscription is going to be cheaper, because I want people to stay on board. I want people to be utilizing everything that's in there. And as a coach now, I want people to stay with me because I want to see where they're going. Like for me, a 12-week goal isn't to be absolutely shredded and to achieve all of your goals. It's like you said, in 12 weeks, I want those habits to be formed. Once the habits are formed, then we can look and it will just happen over time. But you put too much pressure on yourself. It's got to be done by this point. If it isn't done by this point, it's failure. It's just producing more stress from a mindset perspective as well.
Because we focus on the goal, not the journey.
Yeah.
And that's just all about the journey.
Oh, mate. You know when you look back and you think about hard times? Not that probably, or like you compare with other people, you think hard times. And actually, I look back now at some of the most stressful times in my life, and I do still look back with fond memories of it because of the things that I've learned along the way. And that sounds a bit, you know, cliche or whatever, but I don't really care because it does. It makes you feel, well, I've got through that. Yeah, and actually, while I was doing that, I look back now and I look back with it with some pretty fond memories. And I wouldn't change that because it's kind of made me who I am now. Going on a fitness journey is the same thing. It's not just going after a goal. It's going after how did you feel after 4 weeks and you weren't losing any weight and it hadn't, and it, what you anticipated was going to happen wasn't going to happen. How did you feel? What did that do to you? Did it spur you on? Did you feel like you wanted to quit? And if you haven't got somebody by your side or somebody to coach you through that feeling, then you're more likely to fail.
I coach a small business locally after they've had a bad experience with a coach. And they had two coaches that approached them about 14 months ago. One of them said, I can get you to £1 million in 12 months. Yeah. And the other coach said, I'm not sure what I can do yet because I haven't tested the water. I haven't looked at the environment. I need to get to know you better. I'm not sure exactly what we can do. We can definitely work with you. The coach, they went with the coach that could get them £1 million.
Of course.
The other coach was me.
Yeah, of course.
In that period went by, they achieved almost nothing. They had actually achieved £200,000. But to them, almost nothing.
Yeah.
I said, but you had nothing 12 months ago, and now you've got a £200,000 turnover business. That's incredible. For a small business, there were 1.5 members of staff. But that's incredible, but their mindset, because they've been focusing on £1 million, they've only got 200,000, is a negative one.
Yeah.
Whereas I was like, you had nothing, now you've got 200,000. And then they started to realize, hold on, yeah, that's really powerful, that's amazing, but the goal was wrong, the focus was wrong.
Yeah.
So they didn't see what they actually had, and they didn't see that progress. And I think that comes back to what you were saying about that longevity and not doing those 12-week courses. You're focusing on the 12 weeks. You're not noticing on, actually, look at how you're feeling. Monitor your mood. Monitor your elevated endorphin. Monitor, like, how do you feel? What was your sleep patterns like? All those little things. Oh, I slept a little better today.
Things are improving, yeah.
Oh, look, I've done a few more steps.
People just look in the mirror and go, still not ripped. Still don't look like so-and-so on Instagram. Still don't look like this.
But if you go, well, actually, what are you good at? I like going for a walk. Well, what's your average steps? 7,000. Okay, do 8.
Do 8. First thing I do with absolutely every single client that I see, I'm like, what are your steps? And I am going to be going in quite heavy next week, actually, on my social media about talking about NEAT, which is, you know, moving, basically, just moving. No exercise per se in the gym, just walking, taking the stairs, things like that. And it just, for me, that's a big part of people's goals. Now, if they can just, instead of focusing too much on what they're doing in the gym and what they're eating, if they can just make those little changes, it makes a big difference across the board.
I think the really important thing comes back to as well, coming from the other side and the client side, if it sounds too good to be true,
it is.
There is no magic pill.
No.
There is no magic formula. Yeah. Carb killer protein bars do contain polyols, which are carbohydrates, and as such, they are not 2 grams of carbs at all. They're 18.5 grams of carbs. But we fooled you because the industry has got around that a little bit. SlimFast does contain 21 grams of sugar. When you've got all these things that are around and all these promises, of course people are going to fail.
Yeah.
Because we're setting every... What are you supposed to believe? And that's where the role of a good coach comes into play that helps dispel some of those myths, helps open the eyes to what actually can be achieved in what time periods, and gives you the knowledge behind the reasons why you're doing, why you're eating, and why you're taking product.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is basically what I'm trying to achieve. I don't want to... You pretty much put it into a nutshell, I should say. So, a few questions that I want to ask you. What book are you reading at the moment?
I read about 5 or 6 simultaneously.
All at the same time?
It depends. So I've got a podcast that I listen to. I've got books. Currently, I'm listening to a book, an audio book by Jenny Powers called Are You Listening?
Okay.
She's been a coach for a number of years. She's coached actually a lot of celebrities. She's coached a lot of elements of there. So taking her experience around making it, again, all about the person you're talking to, making it all about listening.
We had this conversation last week about listening has more of an impact than talking at people.
It's the number one skill that people just cannot do. Because when I started coaching, I could hear what you were saying, and I thought, I know how to answer this, and I'd just jump in. Yeah. I'd even interrupt people. I've got this.
Like I just did to you then.
I guess. But actually, taking that step back and really listening, like not listening to reply, listening to understand, and then knowing that your skills will kick in at the back end of it, you can really understand, and pushing that one bit more, how to come at people from a different angle. So that's what I'm listening to at the moment. I've just read Arnie's book, actually.
Is it good? I've never read it.
Well, I listen to Arnie's book, so it's Arnie's voice.
When I say read, right, I mean listen. Like, Spotify, we've got that sorted now with audio books on Spotify, audio books on Audible. I only tend to read, and we had this conversation a couple of weeks ago, I think, where we've actually switch reversed it. I read my fiction and I listen to my sort of knowledge-based educational reading, whereas you do it the other way around so that you can make notes in your book, right?
Yeah, and also it's around, I love the phrase, I haven't got the time.
Yeah.
So I'm in a car driving to the gym, I can listen to something. If I'm on the drive going to a client, I can listen to
something.
Absolutely,
I listen to podcasts and audiobooks and stuff like that all
the
time. If
I'm sitting in my office, yeah, I do want to read because I read things and I'll see something that I'll think, oh, I'm interested in that. And I love to read books. I think a lot of people try and read books for validation. So they try and read books that will just back up their own ways of thinking. But actually, I try and read books that...
going to challenge you.
Absolutely. That I think, when someone says something and I don't agree with it, I love that. They might not change my mind. I want to understand their thinking behind that. Because if I can understand how they think more, I can understand how to put things to people that will allow them to understand things in a different perspective.
You're right. Absolutely right with that. Like, people do tend to just want validation for their own beliefs and their own views on things, don't they? And so, that again comes back to social media as well. We follow the things, so the algorithm will push things on you.
Yeah. So I listen. I read inspirational books. So I'll read inspirational books from people that I respect. Obviously, there's the Simon Sinek books and the Starting with Why and all of those ones that we've all kind of read. And that whole why thing's great, but I actually think there's a piece behind that that starts with not with the why. How can you find your why if you don't know the what? What are you going to do? What's your passion? How are you going to achieve that? Like, there are bits to answer first as well. So there's that kind of inspirational book, that kind of one that goes, listen to people. There's a, and different, like Chris Voss's "That Never Split the Difference" is an interesting book and can be taken in two different ways. It can be taken quite aggressively, but actually as an ex-CIA negotiator, some of his tactics around how he would open up a conversation, how he would ask you two questions and then confirm something, like how he would do different things to create relationships and create a stronger bond, is really interesting. Some people take it from the other way.
Yeah.
And take it to the manipulative way of going, oh, I can take this and I can now make you like me more and make you be-. And actually, there's always two sides to everything. But I think that you've got to be trying to be a bit honest and truthful and push yourself a little bit at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I can't get through. I've tried on numerous occasions to read How to Make Friends and Influence People. Can't get it. Think it's a bag of shit. Can't do it. Just cannot read it. Whereas something more, a little bit more realistic for me is, for instance, something like Tools of Titans by Tim Ferriss. One of the best books that I ever read, because it's everybody, loads of different people's just little bits, just little nuggets of advice from people that he's had on his podcast. And it was like he said, it's like Tools of Titans is almost, it was an amendum for 4-hour work week, because he couldn't fit the amount of information that he wanted to fit in. Now, I use Tools of Titans quite often as a reference book. I'll just open it up and be like, there's got to be something in here for the way I'm feeling or the things that I need to get through. And I'll just have a quick look and okay, cool. And sometimes it just gives you a bit of, you know, it makes you feel, okay, maybe I'm on the right track.
But there goes to your point, you're talking about books to read, and I get asked about what books to read all the time. And also, I get given books a lot to read.
Yeah.
Well, have you read this? Have you read this? Again, there's partly that because of validation.
Yeah.
Oh, if my coach has read it, then
I can read it, and I'm going to be,
But actually, normally the people that ask me around books are the people that are like, what think I'd be interested in it. When people ask me about books, I'll very rarely recommend a book for them. And what I'll recommend for them to do is to try and search for books that around the subject they're looking for, because like you've just said, if I recommend a book to you, you might not read it.
No.
And actually then what happens? Dave recommended me that book. Well, that wasn't good for me. Now there's a negative emotive reaction to me, because I've just recommended a book that you don't want to read. So actually in essence, I've weakened that relationship
You've put a wall up.
I would say, what is it you're trying to look at? What kind of books are you trying to read? Is there a kind of area you're looking at? Are you trying to develop your coaching skills? Are you trying to develop your communication skills? Are you trying to develop your, you know, NLP, that neuro-linguistic programming side? What is it you're trying to better yourself on? What is it you're looking for? And then I might say, here are three or four people. Go onto audio and listen to the little clips of the books. And just see which ones resonate with you. I think we're very good at going, this is what you should do. It doesn't work for everybody. So actually, understanding, if you take the time to understand that and ask that question back, we love knowledge, right?
Right.
What books are you reading? I'm reading this, I'm reading this, I'm reading this. I recommend you go and read them all. No.
No.
What kind of books do you read? What kind of styles do you like? Do you like to read? Do you like heavy books? Do you like light-hearted books? What are the things you're looking for? Again, comes back to that. Take those steps back out of you and out of what you know. Put yourself back into the person you're talking to. Then I can ask several questions. I always ask this about mobile phones. You ever had a new mobile phone? You ask somebody what mobile phone they want? You want my mobile phone. It's got the best screen. It's got a really good camera.
People are so tribal about their phones.
It's got a really good this. It's got a really good that. Because they're validating again. The question should be, what are you using it for? Are you vlogging? Are you blogging? Are you using it for videos? Do you use it for gaming? Have you got fat thumbs like me and you need a big screen? Are you putting it in a clutch bag to go out on a night out? Once you've asked those questions, then you can go, actually, if based off of what you've said, here are some suggestions. Go and have a look at those.
Yeah.
Not this is the one you want. We can't steer. Our influence as coaches is huge on somebody. Someone's coming to you and they're looking to you for help and advice. We have a duty of care to give the right information. And that is still enabling that person to choose and have choice.
Even if they're not your client.
100%.
Even if, this is what pisses me off about Instagram and all social media, to be honest with you. You get, you've got, like you said, a duty of care. If you're in a position of power, a position of knowledge, you've got a duty of care to give out correct information. Whereas people are giving out bullshit information or information that may not help other people for likes and for views and for validation.
But again, take a step back from that again. Some of them are thinking they're doing the right thing. There are obviously the disingenuous people that are doing it just to try and make a quick buck and be liked.
Yeah.
But actually, there's a lot of people that are just, they're watching other people and they're just repeating the stuff that they're saying. Everything that we're saying is being repeated.
Oh yeah, massively.
But we're coming at it from a place of knowledge and a place of understanding rather than I'm just going to learn it and say it. And there's no meaning behind it. So they don't know if they're saying it to the right person. If I come in and say something to somebody, that I can change their entire life. You can change their entire way of thinking, for positive or for negative. That is actually, and it sounds quite dramatic, but it does. You have no idea what the influence of a coach can have on a business, on a person, on an individual, on their mental health, on their self-esteem. When you set them up to fail and they fail, or you accidentally fail, or you give them the wrong piece of advice and it goes negatively for them, they might never walk in a gym again. They might not start that business again. They might give up their PT business because it's not working. Because there's so many connotations. And that means that we really need to know what we're talking about. And then circling that all the way back, that's why just a qualification on its own just isn't enough.
Yeah. You need that experience. You need to work with people.
And you need to learn from people.
Yeah. I think we'll leave it at that, mate. Where can people find you?
TrishaBusinessCoaching.com and LinkedIn at Dave Christie on LinkedIn. I do a lot of hints and tips on there as well.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Nice one. Cheers, dude.
That's good.